Amen. Remain standing, and let's go to the book of James chapter 4 this morning. I invite you to turn there with me, James chapter 4. The title of today's message is Life is a Vapor. Life is a Vapor. There in James chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse number 13 today, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. James chapter 4, verse number 13. The word of God says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you now, once again, we ask that you would still our hearts and minds on your word, on your truth, that your Spirit would illuminate to us these holy scriptures. Lord, minimize the distractions. And God, I pray that if there is one here who has not yet made that decision to trust in you for salvation today, Lord, I pray that they would humble themselves before you and call out in faith, believing that you will save them. Help us as believers to see how fleeting our time is. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Life is a vapor. Everything around us has a beginning and it has an end. A pastor friend of mine sent me this this past week. It's kind of funny. It was a meme or quote, I don't know. It said, "Brain cells die, skin cells die, even hair cells die. But my fat cells must have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior since they seem to have eternal life." Everybody said, amen, all right. Every single person here would testify to the fact that life has gone by quickly. I know that I'm getting older and that my wife and I are getting older. Here's one reason I know that we're getting older. This past week, we needed an outdoor trash can, heavy duty. So we went to the store, and we were at Walmart, and we saw this trash can, and it was marked down. Somebody must have, like, set something on the lid, and it was, like, smashed in, so we just opened the lid and pushed it. An $80 trash can marked down to $20. Yeah. Now, you young people are like, who cares? But the rest of you are like, that's an interesting story right there. That's a So here's how I know I'm getting old. Because Sierra and I have shared that story with so many people that when you start telling discount trash can stories as the highlight of your week, you're probably getting up there in age just a little bit. And I was like, that's how I know. The age you are now, 10 years ago, you thought, that's old. And now that's you. That's you. The reality is that every second, two people on this planet pass into eternity. From the time we sang that first song until I told you to stand with me and read the book of James, nearly 1,600 people entered eternity. By the end of this day, nearly 163,000 individuals will have died and stood before their Maker. Life is a vapor. I really don't have a point or points today as much as just one point. The title, Life is a vapor. My hope is to study this passage this morning that we would all understand just how fleeting time is. Look there in verse 13 of James chapter 4. James writes, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain." James says, go to now. Today we might say something like, now you listen up here. Listen to what I'm saying. Often we play God with our lives and we just leave him out of our plans. James is saying, these guys are planning and they're planning. Now look, there's nothing wrong with planning. Some of you, your personality, how many of you, your personality is like you're a planner. You want to know what's happening today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, at this time. You got your schedule, you got it all. How many of you, raise your hand, you're the planning type, all right? How many of you are the opposite? You're the type, I'm just live by the seat of my pants, I'll just go with it, we'll figure it out, jump now, ask questions later, kind of, yeah? Now, usually the first person is married to the second person, all right? Isn't that true? Some of you. There's nothing wrong with planning. We have to plan in business, right? We have to plan at home. I mean, we make plans here at church. I mean, we're planning on doing three services. It's good to plan. But we should never be presumptuous to think that the Lord is required to keep my plans or to see my plans through. These men that James writes about, well, they figured out the time, they figured out the location, the timetable, the operation, what they're going to do. They even figured out the results, how it's going to turn out. Is there something immoral about that? About planning? No. There's nothing wrong or evil about that. According to Proverbs, it's actually wise to do so. There's nothing sinful about what is said. It's what isn't said that's the issue. There seems to be no concern for the Lord. There is no thought of God from beginning to the end. There is no mention of what he wants. They make all these plans, but it seems like they never ask, like, does God even want this? Christian, have we fallen for this life and forgot about the life to come? There's a sermon illustration that I heard years ago, and there have been many pastors who have used this illustration, and a lot of you have probably seen it. I think the guy who made it, he's kind of like weird now. he teaches weird stuff, and anyways, I'm not like recommending that guy, okay? But the illustration has, I mean, it stuck with me. And it, if anything, it's a good reminder. It's the rope illustration. All right. So I got my rope here. I had to try to make sure it wasn't all tangled up. And imagine that, you know, this rope represents the entirety of your existence. Let's kind of pretend here that it goes out that door and just goes on forever, all right? Now it doesn't. It just goes to the door. If I pull it too hard, it might come through, but let's just pretend for the sake of the illustration, all right, that it just goes on forever and ever. This is your existence. You may have figured this out, but that part right there, that red part, that represents your life here on earth. The rest of this? Well, this is like eternity. The Bible tells us that what we do in this life matters in eternity. The problem is, so often we get so focused on like this vapor of a life that we give no thought to what is coming. And so the illustration kind of goes like, you know, I get really worried about, man, I'm going to work really, really hard and save my money during this portion so that I have a really good time during this portion right here, you know. Forgetting about the billions upon billions of years to come. No one is going to get to this point and think, man, I really wish I would have driven a different car. I mean, if my house was just a little bit bigger, you know, or if I could have taken that grade from like a B+ to an A, everything would have been different, you know. I don't think anybody's going to think, man, I wish I would have worked longer at the office. I wish I had a little bit more money. I don't think anybody's going to think any of those things, but I think that most of us, to one degree or another, are going to think to ourselves, what did I do for Jesus? Because we like to plan. And we plan and we plan and we plan a lot for this part. You could ask somebody, maybe high school or junior high, or, you know, they're growing up, hey, what are you going to do with your life? Oh, well, I'm going to go to, you know, this college. Okay. And then what? Well, and then I'm going to get, you know, this job that I've always wanted. Okay. And then what? And hopefully I get married. All right. And then what? Well, I guess we'll buy that dream house we always wanted. Okay? And then what? Have some kids, maybe. And then what next? Well, I guess our kids will get older and eventually they'll grow up and move out and maybe we'll have grandkids. And all the grandparents said, amen, all right? And then what? Well, I suppose I'll work for a while longer and then eventually retire. And then what? Get to enjoy everything I've created. The life that I made for myself. Yeah? And then what? Well, and then hopefully I do that for a while, and then I guess that's it. I die. And then what? Jonathan Edwards, the leader of the Great Awakening, used to pray, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyes. Life is a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with planning. These men were planners. They planned and they had everything figured out. They had everything planned out, except they left the Lord out. Jesus kind of told a parable about that, didn't he? You remember Mr. Bigger Barns? In the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, there's a man, it says, and he spake a parable unto them, Jesus is teaching, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and then will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 18, or verse 19 rather. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It sounds a lot like the guys that James is talking about. We're going to do this, I'm going to do that, a couple years, I'll be good. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, Jesus I believe it's talking about an unbeliever. The reality is, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, this is the best that it will ever get. And then what? Well, then eternity. James, I don't think he's talking about unbelievers. I think he's talking about believers. These ones who had it all planned out, but again, they left God out. Please don't misunderstand. Plans are not the problem. Planning without thought of the one who made you, that's the problem. That's what we could call practical atheism. We say God exists. We say we believe in him, and then live and plan our lives as if he doesn't exist. The men in James 4 are presumptuous. That's the problem. At the very core, it was prideful and arrogant. You say, why? What's the big deal? Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You're making plans for next month when you aren't even promised your next breath. So here's what we do. We make all our plans. We give God our propositions. I read that God often likes to dispose what we propose. And you can make your plans, but I believe that most people in this room would attest to the fact that God loves to rearrange our plans, doesn't he? You say amen to that? These men in James 4 presume that they are in control of time. We're going to do it today. We might do it tomorrow. What arrogance. Not only do they act like they know what tomorrow will bring, but they act as if they can control what tomorrow brings. Friend, you can't control it, and you don't even know what's coming. They were living like they were the ones sustaining their own life. But we understand the Lord created us. He owns us, he sustains us, and he will decide the day that we die. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? Life. He is the author of life, but by him, not only do things exist, but they continue to exist, which means not only does Jesus give you life, but every moment you are alive, it is because he continues to give you life. It's been said that the Lord never takes life. He just stops giving it. Every breath is a gift from God. Every beat of your heart. In Job 12, verse 9, it says this. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Verse 10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. That's your breath too. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, just for some context, this is judgment pronounced against Belshazzar, the king. Belshazzar was a wicked man. They took the items that were found in the temple of God and they desecrated them by using them in worship to their false gods. In Daniel 5:23, it is pronounced, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And notice this, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways. Hast thou not glorified? And then comes the handwriting on the wall. You ever hear that phrase? That's a biblical phrase. They don't understand it. They can't discern it. They bring in Daniel. Daniel interprets, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting." That phrase, could it be said of us? The God in whose hand thy breath is. You've kept out of your plans. Consider what this looks like practically. Like, how does this play out in my life? How do I make this mistake? When I decide what I'm going to do and I never bother to ask God, God, is this your will? Do you even want this? No, what often happens is we pray, we make up our mind, and then we pray and ask God to bless what we've already decided to do. Well, I prayed about it after I already decided what to do. James says, it is arrogant that I would plan my life as if it's my life, as if it doesn't belong to him. The God in whose hand is my breath. Have I glorified with my plans, my goals, my dreams, my wants, my desires? Or am I living my life as if he doesn't even exist? Verse 15, that's why James says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will..." If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, I need to say, this isn't just like a magical word. Like, what's the magic word? Say please, you know, that we add on to our plans. This isn't some sort of spiritual footnote where it's like, well, I'm going to figure up everything I want to do, and then I'll just say, I mean, Lord willing. What I really mean by that is, well, I made up my mind, and I hope God's okay with it. You know, Lord willing. There's one of the men in the church, Brother Rich Olson. I know him to when we have a conversation and we talk about anything in the future. You know, I could ask him about the most basic thing. Like, so yeah, you're going to do that tomorrow? And Brother Rich will be like, Lord willing. Lord willing. And I know he is completely sincere in what he is saying. He means it. Well, yeah, I hope. If that's what God wants, what does this mean? We are to live with an ongoing consciousness that my life exists because of Jesus, and what is of greatest importance is not what I want, my hopes, my dreams, my goal, or my will. It's his will. His will is the only will that matters. That's why verse 16 says, if I act otherwise, it's evil and arrogant. It's been said, write your plans in pencil and then give God the eraser. Lord willing. Verse number 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. A vapor, a mist, a fog, that it's here and it's gone before you even know it. That's what our life is compared to eternity. We might say, wow, that person lived a long life, because they lived to be 90 or 100 years old compared to someone who was 60 years old. But both compared to eternity is like a drop of water in the ocean. A vapor. King David cried out in Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Job 7, verse 7, He says, oh, remember that my life is wind. In Job 8, verse 9, it says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shadow. Psalm 103, verse 14, the psalmist writes, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Even this moment, this very moment, the grains of sand continue to drop through the hourglass, and one day it will empty. Job 14, verse 5 says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Do we understand that God determines every day that we have, and he has drawn a divine line in the sand of time which you cannot pass? Some more, some less, but there are no do-overs. This is it. I'm sure there are things in your life you wish, man, I wish if I could do it over again. I have plenty of those. I told you about our trash can deal, riveting. There was something a little more exciting that happened right before that. That wasn't the first place we went to look. We went to Rural King to look for a trash can. And while we were there, we didn't get a trash can, but you always got to get something in Rural King, right? So we're going to check out, and as we're moving toward the checkout, there are guys who are stealing from the store. They got a cart full, I'm not kidding, booking it out the door with all sorts of expensive stuff, okay? And like drills and chainsaws and the good stuff. We're talking like steel, not Husqvarna or something like that. No, these guys, I'm not joking, they're running out of the store, and we just hear all this commotion. Hey, stop. And somebody's going out. Somebody like grabs a cart. They're like ripping it away from them. The guys just run off. We're like, what is going on? And then they left one of their buddies in the store. Unbeknownst to us, I'm like walking up to the aisle. Everyone's still like, they're on the radios. They're calling people. And I'm like, am I allowed to check out anymore? I don't even know. Is this stop everything? I got Gracie's with me. Sierra's with me. Joanna's. I got the girls with me. All the girls are with me. We're standing right at the register. We're trying to like catch it or check out. We're still kind of like, what's going on? And then there's a worker that's standing there, a few employees there, and Joanna's like standing in the cart. This lady's like, okay, yeah, that's never happened before. I'm like, okay. They're like, is that all for you? Joanna's got her crock off. She's trying to like pay for her crock. She wants to, she's two, you know, almost two now. She's like, here. She just starts throwing her crock at the lady. I'm like, Joanna, stop it, you know. All the while, this other guy's in the store, and the one of the employees makes a comment to him like, hey, your buddy's already left. And he's like, huh? What? And before we know it, I kid you not, he grabbed, I don't know what it was, like a weed eater, and just sprinted toward the door. And it's like, whoosh, you know, right? And he's going out, and here's this employee. I mean, he's not young, all right? He's not a young guy. He's not a young whippersnapper. Let's just put it that way. And he lunges for this guy and like, you know, tries to reach out to him. This guy who's run is probably like mid-20s, 30 or so, sprinting with this thing in his hand. Ill intentions, no idea what he's got on him, but this guy, he's going to like tackle him. They like smash into the door. He's like breaking free. And then he's like grabbing him still. Everybody's like, what in the world? Like, oh no. And then he like darts off. He's gone. And he hops in that truck. And with the other guys, they speed off. I tell you this, when we got to Walmart, my wife was turned into a detective real quick. she was looking around like, are they here, you know? And she was telling everybody, watch out, you know, there's some hoodlums running around here. So this employee who's like, I don't know what he's getting paid, but willing to sacrifice himself for a weed eater, I'm like, man, what a brave dude, you know? And he takes off, and it's like, happens. We're still like, what in the world is going on here? What just happened? Did that guy just do what I think he did? And sure enough, the guy's like out of breath. He's coming back, the employee. And there's a guy behind me that goes, next time, sweep the leg. Hey, like this guy is just almost like sacrificed himself for that. He's like, hey, next time, sweep the leg. And I was like, for real, dude? Like, I was like, why didn't you sweep his leg? You know, you didn't do it. Yeah, I don't know who this guy was. I'm sure he had good intentions, but I was like, that's the first thing you say, not like, hey, good job, man, or good try, good effort. Are you okay? It's like, next time, sweep the leg, man. And it's like, oh, sure. Hindsight, we would have tackled the guy before he left the store, right? I thought, man, that was exciting. That was an exciting shopping trip, wasn't it? Trash can, that was just the beginning. I thought, yeah, that's, wouldn't that be nice? Hey, next time, next time, you get a do-over, you get to do it all over again. Oh, yeah, I would do it so much differently. You know, I think that in life it seems like, although we wish we had a do-over, or do-overs, C.T. Studd famously wrote, only when life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. I don't want to die and sit there and ask myself, what did I really do for Jesus? I don't want to wait until I stand before God to think of that. And at times, believers can get caught up in sin, and so they waste time, they waste their days. But other times, Christians just get distracted. Can I say this? The devil doesn't have to get you to fall into sin. He doesn't. He's just got to get your eyes off of Jesus, off of his will and focused on your own, off of heavenly treasures and focused on the treasures of this world. He gets us to concentrate really, really hard on earthly things so that we forget about eternity. There is an eternity, and there are only two places you can go, either heaven or hell. Do we really live like that is true? You know, when the Bible mentions hell, especially in the New Testament, it's literally the word Gehinnom, Gehinnom. Or, speaking of a literal place, the Valley of Hinnom. There was like this ravine, it was a valley southwest of Jerusalem where they would bring all the garbage and filth, just nasty stuff, even human excrement, bodies of dead animals and bodies of criminals were cast there and they were burned. It was the same location, the Valley of Hinnom, where the ancient Canaanite site of worship was to the god Molech, where they would take their children and offer them as human sacrifices. And the Bible says that they would pass through the fire. It was a wicked place. It became known as a place of judgment. It's a pretty appropriate symbol for the future home of all those who reject Jesus Christ. Gehenna was a maggot-infested, foul, forbidding place where the fire and the smoke and the stench never ceased. Therefore, it was a fitting description of the eternal resting place of all those who are unrepentant. And the reality of that place should greatly affect how we live our vapor of a life. Listen, if you're here and you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are not promised tomorrow. You have this moment right now to believe. You are not promised tomorrow. You are not promised another chance. God does not owe you any chance, but he's giving you this chance to believe in him. But Christian, can I also say, we are not promised tomorrow to tell others about that place. To put it off. To wait. How fleeting life is. Like a mist that appears and then vanishes. You might die. Or Jesus might come back. Alexander McLaren wrote, "The primitive church thought more about the second coming of Jesus Christ than they ever did about death or even about heaven. The early Christians were looking not for a cleft in the ground called a grave, but for a cleavage in the sky called glory. They were not watching for the undertaker, they were watching for the upper taker." D.L. Moody, who was probably the greatest evangelist of the 19th century, testified, he said, "For many years, I have never given an address without the consciousness that the Lord may come back before I have finished." Before we even get to the invitation, before we sing that last song, before I finish this message, Jesus could return. I read a story about a place called the Shepherd's Home for Children. It was a home for children with developmental disabilities where they taught the kids about Jesus, and they taught them how that Jesus would one day save them and heal them of all their disabilities. The director said that his biggest problem was dirty windows. Dirty windows. He said because the disabled children would press their hands and their noses and their lips against the windows, always looking to see if today might be the day that Jesus would return for them, bring them home, and be healed of all their disabilities. You want to talk about having your priorities in the right place. Oh, to have the heart and attitude of those precious children. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Soon and very soon, the King is coming. And then I will be with the one who died for me. And with unveiled face, I will see him as he is in all of his glory. Everything that I did for him will remain. All else will pass away soon and very soon. Life is a vapor. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, if you would bow with me for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Let me first say, if you're here again and you are not a believer, one preacher said, tomorrow is the devil's word, today is God's word. Today is the day of salvation. Will you put your faith in him? You're not promised next month, let alone that next breath. Give your heart to Jesus. Call out to him today. I would love to help you do that or share with you more about how you can be saved. When we begin to sing, I invite you to come. I'll meet you in the front. Christian, your life is a vapor. You are not promised tomorrow or your next breath. Are you spending your vapor for Jesus? We can plan, and planning isn't wrong. So often, Satan doesn't get us in sin, he just gets us distracted. Earthly goals, earthly treasures, earthly will. Our life is a mist, it's a fog, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. What will matter in eternity when you stand before God? And then what? And then what? We've all wasted days. We've wasted months. We've wasted years. We've wasted opportunities. But by God's grace, He has given you this moment. So no matter how much time you have wasted in the past, you can be faithful to live for Jesus today. Today. Would you commit to do that? Father, as we come to you now, we ask that you would work in hearts all across this sanctuary. Lord, remind us how fleeting this life is. We praise you for the opportunities that you've given before us today. Forgive us, God, for squandering so much of our time, for wasting this gift of a life that you have given us. Forgive me, Lord. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.